The wigs are rolling now, and we're on Loose Wig 5. Loose Wig 5, side 1.
Cousin Hamlet, and my son.
A little more than kin and less than kind.
How is it that the clouds still hang on you?
Not so, my lord. I am too much of the sun.
Good Hamlet, cast thy nighted color off and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Do not forever with thy veiled lids seek for thy noble father in the dust. Thou know'st 'tis common all that lives must die, passing through nature to eternity.
Aye, madam, it is common.
If it be, why seems it so particular with thee?
Seems, madam? Nay, it is. I know not seems. 'Tis not alone my inky cloak, good mother, nor customary suits of solemn black, nor windy suspiration of forced breath, no, nor the fruitful river in the eye, nor the dejected haviour of the visage, together with all forms, moods, shapes of grief that can denote me truly. These indeed seem, for they are actions that a man might play. But I have that within which passeth show. These but the trappings and the suits of woe.
For the first year of marriage, I had a bad act, basically a bad act. I guess I tended to place my wife underneath a pedestal all the time.
What's the difference between a girl from New Jersey and garbage?
Sometimes garbage gets picked up.
Meet some of our guests. Well, here we have Eleanor Bradley and Miss Joyce Nazari, two of our most popular playmates, and Lenny Bruce, foremost exponent of sick humor and...
Oh! Isn't that sick? Yeah. Oh, boy, the champagne is really making my nose bubbly.
I was woke. Comb your hair and paint some powder. You act proud and I'll act prouder. You sing loud and I'll sing louder. Tonight we're setting the woods on fire. You're my gal and I'm your fella. Dress up in your proper of yeller. I'll look well, but you look reller. Setting the woods on fire.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt, thaw, and resolve itself into a dew. Or that the everlasting had not fixed his cannon against self-slaughter. Oh God, God, how weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world. Fie on, fie. 'Tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely.
He tried to name the Ten Commandments. He couldn't think of them quickly enough. Instead, he named the Seven Dwarfs.
I was horrified, however, to see that Ronald Reagan's library has just burned down and that both books were destroyed. But the real tragedy was he had not finished coloring the second one.
When people are liberal with something, they're ignorant. Because you can always understand something you don't understand. The Jew has no concept that there's a dirty word, graph. In other words, F-U-C-K, the Jew doesn't know the word 90 points, and S-H-I-T, 5 points. Because both rabbis and priests, S-H-I-T. Only one F-U-C-K.
She is a little queen of Spain, and the mean will not let her be. She is a little queen of Spain, and the mean will not let her be. Every time she makes this spread, who caught you just runs all over.
Honorable Lord, I will most humbly take my leave of you.
You cannot, sir, take from me anything that I will more willingly part withal. Except my life. Except my life. Except my life.
Happy in the... He's suing me. I don't know if you read that in the paper or not, but I'm getting sued because I made a nasty remark about her. And she didn't like it. She lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And she was coming home late at night, and she was violated. That's how they put it in the New York paper. She was violated. And they asked me to comment on it. And I said, knowing my ex-wife, it probably was not a moving violation.
In America, they say, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
In England, they say, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your wife is?
In France, they say, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your husband is?
In Poland, they say, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know what time it is?
In 1887, Albert Michelson, who later became the first American to receive the Nobel Prize for Physics, and Edward Morley, carried out a very successful, careful experiment at the Case School of Applied Science in Cleveland. They compare the speed of light in the direction of the Earth's motion with that at right angles to the Earth's motion. To their great surprise, they found they were exactly the same.
In that we are not over happy. On Fortune's cap, we are not the very button.
Nor the soles of her shoe.
Neither, my lord.
And you live about her waist, or in the middle of her favors.
Face her privates, we.
In the secret parts of Fortune, almost true she is a strumpet. What's the news?
None, my lord, but that the world's grown honest.
Then is doomsday near. But your news is not true. Let me question you more in particular. What have you, my good friends, deserved at the hands of Fortune that she sends you to prison hither?
Prison, my lord?
Denmark's a prison.
Then is the world one.
A goodly one, in which there are many confines, wards, and dungeons, Denmark being one of the worst.
We think not so, my lord.
Why, then, 'tis none to you. For there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. To me it is a prison.
Why, then, your ambition makes it one.
'Tis too narrow for your mind.
Oh, God, I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space, were it not that I have bad dreams.
Which dreams indeed are ambition. For the very substance of the ambitious is merely the shadow of a dream.
A dream itself is but a shadow.
Truly. And I hold ambition of so airy and light a quality that it is but a shadow's shadow.
Then our beggars' bodies and our monarchs and outstretched heroes, the beggars' shadows, shall be to the court, for by my fay I cannot reason.
Between 1887 and 1905, there were several attempts, most notably by the Dutch physicist Hendrik Lorentz, to explain the result of the Michelson-Morley experiment in terms of objects contracting and clocks slowing down when they move through the ether. However, in a famous paper in 1905, a hitherto unknown clerk in the Swiss Patent Office, Albert Einstein, pointed out that the whole idea of an ether was unnecessary, providing one was willing to abandon the idea of absolute time.
Heard the one you did about what has four legs and goes holy do, holy do. So that's two black guys running for the elevator. I heard it.
The fundamental postulate of the theory of relativity, as it was called, was that the laws of science should be the same for all freely moving observers, no matter what their speed. This was true for Newton's laws of motion, but now the idea was extended to include Maxwell's theory and the speed of light. All observers should measure the same speed of light, no matter how fast they're moving. This simple idea has some remarkable consequences. Perhaps the best known are the equivalents of mass and energy, summed up in Einstein's famous equation, E equals MC squared, where E is energy, M is mass, and C is the speed of light. And the law that...
I shot a moose once. I was hunting upstate New York, and I shot a moose, and I strap him onto the fender of my car, and I'm driving home along the West Side Highway. But what I didn't realize was that the bullet did not penetrate the moose. It just creased his scalp, knocking him unconscious. And I'm driving through the Holland Tunnel, and the moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender. And the moose is signaling for a turn, you know? And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose on your fender Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I'm very panicky. And then it hits me. Some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go. I'll take the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive up to the party, and I knock on the door. The moose is next to me. My host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We enter. The moose mingles. Did very well. Scored. Some guy was trying to sell him insurance for an hour and a half. 12 o'clock comes. They give out prizes for the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes, a married couple dressed as a moose. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure here's my chance. I grab the moose, strap him to my fender, and shoot back to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. So I'm driving along with two Jewish people on my fender. There's a law in New York State. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and especially Saturday. The following morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York Athletic Club. And the joke is on them because it's restricted.
But still I love you.
An equally remarkable consequence of relativity is the way it has revolutionized our ideas of space and time. In Newton's theory, if a pulse of light is sent from one place to another, different observers would agree on the time that the journey took, since time is absolute, but will not always agree on how far the light traveled, since space is not absolute. Since the speed of light is just the difference it has traveled divided by the time it's taken, different observers would measure different speeds for the light. In relativity, on the other hand, all observers must agree on how fast light travels. They still, however, do not agree on the distance the light has traveled, so they must therefore now also disagree over the time it's taken. The time it has taken is, after all, just the light's speed, which the observers agree on, multiplied by the distance the light has traveled, which they do not agree on. In other words, the theory of relativity put an end to the idea of absolute time. It appeared that each observer must have his own measure of time as recorded by a clock carried with him, and that identical clocks carried by different observers would not necessarily agree. The theory of relativity does, however, force us to change fundamentally our ideas of space and time.
You white folks had a good time last year, didn't you? And you did the one about the Mombackers, too. The Mombackers. Mombackers, they said, this is the guy standing behind the garbage truck and goes, Mombacker.
Relativity does, however, force us to change fundamentally our ideas of space and time. We must accept that time is not completely separate from and independent of space, but is combined with it to form an object called space-time. In fact, one may describe the whole universe in terms of a collection of overlapping patches.
So people have resorted to drugs, and of course the two worst drugs today are alcohol and tobacco. We're losing 450,000 people a year from smoking and drinking. But the irony there is that we subsidize tobacco and the state governments are selling the alcohol, which I think is rather terrible. But the drug problem is a serious problem, but it's something that should be out of the realm of government trying to solve it. We never had drug laws before 1914, and there's been a 4,000% increase in the use of cocaine since we've had the drug laws, so they're really not doing any good. And when you think that we can't even keep drugs out of the prisons due to the corruption, I don't think there's much chance we're going to keep them off the streets. So we better be more practical about it. And our approach is, as libertarians, is that we should get rid of the laws. The laws don't work. They're not any good. And that they create a lot of corruption. The drug dealer's out of business overnight if we get rid of the drug laws. Crime rates go down. The average addict commits 260 felonies a year just raising the money to pay his friendly drug dealer for the drugs. And I think if we didn't have the drug laws, kids would be less exposed, and I think that's very important. But kids are enticed. You know, it's pretty hard taking a job at McDonald's at $3.35 an hour if they can make $400 or $500 a day. So I think it's all backfired. The real issue is freedom of choice and responsibility, and we believe that falls on the individual, the family, and the churches to deal with these very difficult problems, not the government. The government has failed, and they'll continue to fail at this in this approach.
Maybe this was a diamond ring. Another trouble.
I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, foregone all custom of exercises. And indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame the earth seems to me a sterile promontory. This most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave o'erhanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire. Why, it appears no other thing to me but a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors. What a piece of work is a man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. And yet, to me, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights not me. No, nor woman neither, though by your smiling you would seem to say so.
My lord, there was no such stuff in my thoughts.
Why did ye laugh then when I said man delights not me?
Mm-hmm.
Said that it was a good novel, but not a great one, that it needed some work, but it could be a fine book. And we laughed over it. Hemingway punched me in the mouth. That winter, Picasso lived on the Rue de Bach. He had just painted a picture of a naked dental hygienist in the middle of the Gobi Desert. Gertrude Stein said it was a good picture, but not a great one. And I said it could be a fine picture. We laughed over it. Hemingway punched me in the mouth. I remember Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald came home from their wild New Year's Eve party. It was April. Scott had just written Great Expectations, and Gertrude Stein and I read it, and we said it was a good book, but there was no need to have written it, because Charles Dickens had already written it. And we laughed over it, and Hemingway punched me in the mouth. And that winter, we went to Spain to see Manoletti fight. And he was, looked to me, 18. And Gertrude Stein said, no, he was 19. But that he only looked 18. And I said, sometimes a boy of 18 will look 19, whereas other times a 19-year-old can easily look 18. That's the way it is with a true Spaniard. And we laughed over that, and Gertrude Stein punched me in the mouth.
In my head! Once again!
The special theory of relativity was very successful in explaining that the speed of light appears the same to all observers, as shown by the Michelson-Morley experiment, and in describing what happens when things move at speeds close to the speed of light. However, It was inconsistent with the Newtonian theory of gravity, which said that objects attracted each other with a force that depended on the distance between them. This meant that if one moved one of the objects, the force on the other would change instantaneously. Or, in other words, gravitational effects should travel with infinite velocity instead of at or below the speed of light, as the special theory of relativity required. Einstein made a number of unsuccessful attempts between 1908 and 1914 to find a theory of gravity that was consistent with special relativity. Finally, in 1915, he proposed what we now call the general theory of relativity. Einstein made the revolutionary suggestion that gravity is not a force like other forces, but is a consequence of the fact that space-time is not flat, as had been previously assumed. It is curved or warped by the distribution of mass and energy in it. Bodies, like the Earth, are not made to move on curved orbits by a force called gravity. Instead, they follow the nearest thing to a straight path in a curved space, which is called a geodesic. A geodesic is the shortest or longest path between two nearby points. For example, the surface of the Earth is a two-dimensional curved space. A geodesic on the Earth is called a great circle and is the shortest route between two points. As the geodesic is the shortest path between any two airports, this is the route an airline navigator will tell the pilot to fly along. In general relativity, bodies always follow straight lines in four-dimensional space-time, but they nevertheless appear to us to move along curved paths in our three-dimensional space. This is rather like watching an aircraft flying over hilly ground. Although it follows a straight line in three-dimensional space, its shadow follows a curved path on the two-dimensional ground. The mass of the sun curves space-time in such a way that although the Earth follows a straight path in four-dimensional space-time, it appears to us to move along a circular orbit in three-dimensional space.
She said to the druggist, she said, "I'd like to buy a vibrator." Druggist said, "Come this way." She said, "If I could come that way, I wouldn't need a fucking vibrator."
Every day I have the blues. Every day I have the blues. When it's you that's got me worried, you are hate to lose. Yeah.
better. Use every man after his desert, and who shall escape whipping? Use them after your own honor and dignity. The less they deserve, the more merit is in your bounty. Take them in.
I came home on a Sunday. This was a long time ago. My father's watching television Sunday night. He's watching the Ed Sullivan Show on television. He's watching the Indiana Home for the Criminally Insane Glee Club on the Ed Sullivan Show. And my mother's in the corner knitting a chicken. And I said that I had to get a divorce. My mother put down her knitting. She got up and she went over the furnace. And she opened the door and she got in.
In the theory of relativity, there is no unique absolute time, but instead, each individual has his own personal measure of time that depends on where he is and how he is moving.
But it makes me wonder, how do you practice to get all these various effects? How do you practice every day?
Ooh.
You sound like Merv Griffin.
Ooh. You're a very insightful person. Hey, practice is everything. Practicing is the preparation that leads to the transcendence. Practicing is the work that one had to learn to enjoy doing.
Enjoyable.
I think artists are workers.
Well, it certainly was some of your great people that you had great admiration for on your way up.
Ellington, Billie Holiday, Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane. The list is, I could go on. But, I mean,
not a bad bunch right there.
Ellington,
just about all your top people.
Billie Holiday are the people that, and Thelonious Monk, I would say, you know, those, I mean, they are...